Good morning. Welcome to Talk808.com. This is the Carol Cox Show. Excited here to be back again and broadcasting live from our studio in Mililani. And pretty excited. Got everything wired and looking pretty good. Can't complain. So, you know, tweaking this and tweaking that, but I was a little anxious to get back on air, and we're not in the studio at the radio station any longer. But still the same things to talk about, and as they mount and pile up, and we get great exposure and the ability to see what's really going on, and especially right now, this is the election season. And some say this is when politicians are most vulnerable. I tend to disagree, because this is when they have their best game of bullshit, you know. This is you, the listener, you, the reader, you, the viewer, you, the public, being bombarded with slick ads, and you could take a stick that got mud on it and introduce its name to the list of campaign, and believe it or not, you're likely to go away thinking that's a stick with honey on it. That's how these sharp brochures and what have you can leave you, leave that impression. And you know what the facts are, but it's just that glossy picture with their family members, a politician and their family members. But to suggest that they're going to answer all your problems, but if you just use your common sense and your common vision, and that is, you'll see the same names in the same old game with just now they're going to make you promises. And it's a short-lived presentation, by the way, because once any of them get in, basically, they become untouchable, they become... they're capable of having a one-upmanship on the other candidate, because they can use the resources. They can say, well, I'm going to, for our situation here in Honolulu, if the existing governor wants to go and the reigning governor wants to go and campaign, he just strike up the band and have his people, his staff, to put together some kind of trip so that he can get some visuals and some media attention and get over there, and voila, you know. I plan on sticking my finger in the volcano, and I'm going to stop it, you know. It's those types of, they're prompted to tell you great lies, tall lies, or claims that, you know, things that they haven't done in 3 years, but they can do it now in three more, four more, if you give it to them. So, you know, just be aware of that. And what I wanted to talk about this morning is the reigning leader, David Ige. Now, me personally, and this is as far as I'll go in telling people about voting, who and what to vote for, but we are in a predicament where David Ige was our answer to Neil Abercrombie. We wanted... We feared that Neil wouldn't get in because he'd compete with Mufi or whoever, and so we had our hopes up with Neil Abercrombie. We saw what he did. So we gave him the one-time stay, you know, and gave him the staycation in Washington Place and what have you, and he did his thing, and we see some of the scarring of his bad decisions and poor management, and the cliques that he left in place. Now, what we have here now, it's exacerbated because we voted for David Ige thinking that he had the commitment to honesty and openness and transparency in government, and that the people were first. That was his message, basically. And it's we've migrated so far from that line as being the people's government under David Ige, in my opinion, in my observation, and I'll lay some of them out, that it's almost criminal You contact his office. You write letters to them. You have people swarming around, but they can't get back to you. They won't respond to you. If it's the media, they might, the bigger media, I say, and I'll use that term loosely, he might respond to them, while me as a citizen who dabbled in the media issues and with the talk show and the radio show, and I should have gotten the same respect, and I'm entitled to make questions or reach out for asking questions or explanations from the government, because I'm a citizen, taxpayer, as well as a journalist, as well as a photographer, as well as all of those things, an environmentalist, a civil rights person who's concerned with all of these things. But there's a tendency on what I've witnessed here with David Ige. It's the click of the clicks. Let me tell you. Let's take the DLNR. Now, you know it's sickening. There is Suzanne Case, who was appointed by Ige after the community, and even I participated in some of that, in derailing the nomination of Mr. Chang, who was of concern and had a history of development and what have you. But this Suzanne Case has brought something completely new, and the same people, but we've basically brought in, through Suzanne Case, people that have little or nothing to do with the state government, per se. The civil service route, coming in and competing in that way. Instead, they are doing the backdoor approach under David Ige. And that backdoor approach is bringing in people that are from nonprofit organizations, bringing in money. So under David Ige, the DLNR, for example, wants to start an academy to train the officers, which is, I applaud that. You can't lose. Excuse me. You can't lose by having a training and updating people and having them a post standard or qualifications where one officer gets the same training as the others, and so it makes it a lot better. It's a lot safer, a lot better service that you'll get from the people, because there's consistency and predictability and more manageable in theory. Now, under David Ige, the DLNR wants to put in an academy. So they put in the academy. They, by hook and crook, they make an end run around here and there and get some money if the Senate approves it. But to start that academy and to hire someone for that academy and to, quote, consulting on the academy, the Robert Farrell, the chief of the administration of DLNR, and with the great blessings of Suzanne Case. So if I mention to you Robert Farrell, we have a letter that for Suzanne Case, basically, you know, in a sense, like to borrow from the current statements that are being tossed around in major media, that I could stand on Donald Trump, quote, I can stand on New York, on the streets of New York City and shoot someone and no one would care. Well, that's Suzanne Case. She has given that, she has enamored Robert Farrell with that. He's trying to fire people. He is putting people on, people that he don't like, or people that are the old guards, let's say, that might speak out against the backdoor dealings because they have the backdoor dealings. So this money for the academy comes in through the back door. The back door being, instead of going to the legislators and getting it approved and accepting a gift in a public forum, what they did, they went through to the UH. And UH then gives consideration, and we're going to talk about it in the coming weeks in greater details. I'm dissecting a battery of emails that we received regarding this subject from Denise Antolini, Dr. Denise Antolini, at the Richard School of Law. Now, under IGE, you would think that there would be a great reluctancy on his part or refusal on his part to tolerate or allow nonprofits to have such influence that instead of going through the DLNR, going through the legislators, going through the board and publicly, openly, and approving it, they give the money to, they being the Castle Foundation, it's one of those organizations, and Castle International, it's not clear exactly which one, but some money were given. And this money was given to the Richard School of Law or the UH Foundation. Again, not clear, so don't hold me to the specifics, but it was in that arena, group that got the money. Didn't go straight to DLNR. Now, the academy is the wishes of DLNR and Robert Farrell. So Robert Farrell hires his former boss, Mike Carrion, in from California, and there's some pretty well laid out in this battery of emails that we have. And I didn't want to talk specifically about that today, but I wanted to just talk about the tolerance and what IGE is allowing and the kind of a backdoor dealing environment. This goes with everything with IGE. Would I vote for him personally? No, not what I know about. He's untouchable, unreachable, and unconcerned. So this money came through to UH, and the claims was that Farrell said he had nothing to do with the early on, nothing to do with the selection. So we questioned the procurement. So how does one, Farrell being the chief of the agency, DLNR, law enforcement, DOCARE, and it just so happened that he found his way over to Richard School of Law in a relationship with Dr. Denise Antolini, where she and another party or other parties get involved in the selection of the contractor or the consultant, which was and is Mike Carrion, the former boss of Mr. Robert Farrell. Now, while that's going on, we had some situations where there was a helicopter used in Maui. And in Maui, the DLNR former boss or branch chief, Mr. Can't think of his let's see here. I'll get the name correct here in a minute. So there was a marriage or wedding party taking place. And the branch chief's daughter had a wedding party coming up. And so they took the helicopter that they would usually in the drug eradication, marijuana eradication program, and on an active trip where they were actually eradicating or working to remove marijuana, they took the vessel, the helicopter, and used it to collect aquatic species of fish or hihivai or oopu or whatever is found in the stream there, went into an area that generally is not allowed unless you got a permit to land a helicopter, and plus this was official duty. Now, when Suzanne Case came in, we had raised this issue with the first administration looking to see that someone be held accountable for this. Randy Awo. And And it was Randy Awo. And what happened is that nothing took place. We gave it to them when Awo was in. William Isla was in and did nothing as chairperson of the Land and Natural Resources appointed by Neil Abercrombie. Now, it just sat there, festered, and when Suzanne Case came in, I called and asked for a meeting with her, and which she never granted, and barely she could hold a nose to even give me a call back where I had to call her and explain to her some of these concerns that we had regarding the behavior and the ethics of the DLNR's law enforcement, as well as there were other issues in aquatics division and some other divisions that had some ethical problems. So we were blown off by Suzanne Case. So finally we got to do a news story on it, and the complaint was, the explanation was, well, it has taken such a long time, and that's old news, so we decided it's not a big deal. So, in other words, under the Ige administration, you can operate, misuse, and abuse equipment. You can lie on reports and do all of that. And then when the public reaches out to try and navigate this and get some relief from the governor's office don't bother to respond. And in fact, on one occasion, at least one occasion, you send it to the email or your letters of concern to the governor directly, and nothing comes back, no response. And when you finally corner them, they say, well, that email address, we don't use that. That was the previous administration, but gov@hawaii.gov or what have you. And the same letter now been sent to Suzanne Case, and we'd spoken to Suzanne Case about it, and nothing happens. You get in the picture here. It's not about how good of a manager Ige is or what good politics he plays. It's that if you are the general public and you want a citizen and you bring attention to things that should be repaired or fixed or addressed, you don't expect to be ignored. It's just not good business and for the interest of the people. And when there is potential abuse or there are abuses, you want those addressed. So nothing came of that. The helicopter, they blew that off. Then there's a situation where the current reigning branch chief on Big Island was ranked lower than the person that was selected, but Suzanne Case, through some reason, hook or crook, decided to remove during Tommy Friel's presence, order him to revoke or rescind the promotion of Mr. Heine, an officer who had been appointed for branch chief and selected. Just within days, it immediately changed, pulled the rug from under Heine's feet. And then in turn, we filed a request with the governor's office, nothing. Never even acknowledged receipt of the email. We call, nothing. They don't return calls back. We leave messages, nothing. And we file a UIPA request. And we've talked about this in great details. I had the information that I got through other sources that you can rely on, and I stand by those statements then and I do now, that Suzanne Case intervened and removed Henry Heine from that position as quick as he was appointed and assigned the current officer to run the branch on the Big Island. Again, because it's reported that if we ask around that the current one that is managing it now is a friend of Mike McCartney or had some association with, you know, previous history as a friend or went to college or something. But anyway, it turned out that how do you make a selection of a person and then within days order him to be removed? So we have that situation. Under David Ige, the umbrella of David Ige. So, now is there a conspiracy? Now it might be as something as simple as just completely disconnected, out of your league sort of thing. And that David Ige just doesn't have the ability to, you don't have to know everything, but at least if in your powers to have information going both ways, instead of you concentrating on giving yourself an image and portraying yourself to the people in a positive way, you also should be available and avail yourself to address the negative things that may not be what you would want to be known or publicized. So you should, it's about serving the public. And so then we come across this other situation and it involves the sea cucumber. And the sea cucumber is something that has been taken over the years for some long period of time in the 50s, in fact, commercially. I had a little glitch here, so that's why I was a little delay there. And again, this is under David Ige as governor. So Suzanne Case, you heard such fanfare and such alarm set off that the people were stealing and capturing and harvesting the sea cucumbers. And this was something that was highly illegal and blah, 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 blah. So what they do is they stage a raid of sort by the officers on this island. Knew exactly where sea cucumbers were being processed, delivered, purchased. But Suzanne Case wouldn't accept that. See, she had to make this grand presentation and conjured up some big lie that there was this major operation going on, which there was a major operation, but it was legal. May not like it. And in fact, I found it to be offensive, too, to allow such a process. But what I think and feel is different from what the law permits. And you have to respect that. And if you don't like the law or what is allowed, then you go and you make changes, you know, through the process of a democratic process. So instead of just acknowledging, hey, this is a flaw in the law. So what we'll do, we'll go back to the legislators and try to build. But no, this was a way of when you allow nonprofits to get involved in the government activities, you tend to get lies, you get manipulations, you get half-truth. And that's what we have in the Ige administration. If we were to have an audit, I mean, a bona fide audit, some say forensic, I believe that we would turn up many millions of dollars that have been diverted, squandered, and simply abused for personal and family use and for other organizations that are non-government. So back to this cucumber. So the cucumber place where the cucumbers were being purchased on this island, where it was located in Laie. We knew that. The Department of Land and Natural Resources, DOCARE branch, knew that here too. They knew it. They also knew that it wasn't anything illegal because there were licenses sold to collect sea cucumber. But Suzanne Case, in her capacity as chairperson, wanted to present it as something bigger and more nefarious. And so she then had one of her officers or two of her officers on Maui to engage and initiate some kind of covert investigation to investigate a shipment or shipments plural of sea cucumber from Maui to here on Oahu. But they knew, her men on this island knew exactly where and how long they'd been operating, but she didn't include them. That would not have allowed the lie to be told. So they go to Young Brothers, they tell Young Brothers, and I'm just repeating some of the basic tidbits. They then orchestrate a press conference here. Flew in an officer. He gets a covert car, rents a covert car so that he could trail and follow the illegal shipment, trade, clandestine, covert operation of selling, collecting and selling and purchasing sea cucumber. While the branch, the officers in this district were told to stand down because their chief had already decided, based on law and opinions that he had gotten from the Attorney General's office or somewhere, whoever he consults with about legalities, and was told to stand down. There was no violation. So here's this press conference held by Suzanne Case to present that our man is actually working on this case when it was bogus. It was orchestrated. The person that was collecting the sea cucumbers, we knew in the 50s. I in turn contacted DLNR and pulled from their aquatic records evidence that they said that it was not, they being Suzanne Case and others, said that this was some big problem now and no commercialization. And when in fact they'd been selling license, and there are actual reports where the fishermen that were capturing and taking sea cucumbers were actually making reports as far back as the 50s. But this then tells you that if you have to manipulate the public, first of all, you get into the public's business. You promise them you're going to manage their business. And you're managing that business. And so you win the trust of the people. So then you turn around and you start lying to them because you want more. You have a plan. Now, the state legislators have allocated money, and they've been approached by state managers and what have you to say, this is what we need. We need X number of men for coverage in law enforcement. We need X number of positions as clerical to support the law enforcement. We need X number of dollars to purchase computers and equipment to aid and afford the opportunity to do the job and support the men that are out there in the field investigating and enforcing and protecting our natural resources. That's a basic layout. But you get the weevils to come in, like the Suzanne Cases, and then you get the blessings of unfettered, untethered freedom. David Ige, as long as you keep me out of trouble, don't worry about it, just go ahead and do what you got to do. I support you. And in turn, you have sewage spills, and we'll talk about all of that to talk about what it is that say that David Ige is not a person, is not a person that should be anywhere near the governor's seat. Because you don't have to be the most genius of people, but at least you should know that wherever your weaknesses are, you put someone in with integrity, someone in that is committed to serving the public at all times, not serving the governor, but doing what's right. And we're hearing that in the news every day now. You don't work for him, you work for the governor. You work for the people, you know. So this is what we have here. And I just had a little visitor to come into the studio and got a, always a guest, unannounced. So anyway, we take this Suzanne Case strategy, and this strategy is to move in and get, and we were, you know, we were told, watch out for the other guy that was appointed initially, or we can't trust him and can't do this, and he'll be working for the developers, and guess what? The entire situation is based on friendship and fellowship with nonprofits that Suzanne Case, even herself, comes from a nonprofit. And initially, there have been instances where she wanted to divert money from the DLNR and to nonprofits and was told not to because it would have been illegal. So you get that kind of behavior. But something more sinister, the sustainable fisheries communities. Now, we already have programs that are sanctioned by the legislators. It's written in the books. It's rules. It identifies specific locations and districts and regions and what have you. But no, that's not good enough. We have to go and create our own as nonprofits, because government people, as well as they're trained with educations and aquatic biologists and with experts, they are not to be trusted by the nonprofits. So the nonprofits get in through the back door, through Richard School of Law, through coming in through Suzanne Case's programs where she starts a sustainable fisheries communities and getting grants. And Hawaii has been plagued with a couple promises that just, it's mind-boggling. First, there was a nonprofit that promised to, this is during the Thielen period, to give an accreditation to the DLNR's law enforcement officers, and that was a promise to spend millions of dollars to do that. They got in, they threw a little money at it, they being nonprofits, and then it fell through the cracks. We still have no certification. We still have no post-certified officers. And now, a newfangled gadget has been introduced. We're going to start an academy. What would have been sufficient is that the academy that you start here is not going to my knowledge, is not certified. And so, but the police department is, and the sheriff's department goes to trainings. So why not just simply take the existing academies, pay for the attendance of each individual man or woman that is trained at that facility with HPD if they could come up with an agreement, save money, save time, and we have post-certified peace officers working for DLNR. But no, instead, she dumps Henry Heine, puts in the current chief of branch chief, then brings in Robert Farrell in. Robert Farrell then brings in his friend, Mike Caron, who is his boss, and in one of the emails says, well, he hired and promoted me, so basically suggesting what I took from it was that I'm going to pay him back by giving him a job. He's retired now. And one of the emails showed that while there were certain requirements and qualifications, he didn't meet those qualifications, so they rearranged and rewrote and restructured and went through some backdoor deal, when in fact his expertise was maybe have worked at one of the college temporarily and was a taxidermist. But how do you address the procurement issues? And these documents show the procurement issues. There's some serious questions about, and they're glaring. So this David Ige, and so when I see that the quote environmental community endorses him for us, and then in his commercials he say that he saves such lands and what have you, I ain't buying it. Not when I see a laundry list of issues that goes on as far as the environmental concerns. He's not rising to the occasion. And I'll outline those and lay those out. You're listening to Talk808.com. This is the Carol Cox Show, live here in Honolulu. We'll be also podcasting and broadcasting this in live video in the coming week or couple of days, depending on how fast we move our tails. So, but having a discussion on the David Ige syndrome, I'm nervous because I think he dug a bigger hole for us environmentally. And just a sidebar, you see that Kirk Caldwell endorsed him. But you must understand that Kirk Caldwell is one of the biggest violators when it comes to environmental concerns and issues that has ever stepped on the island. His administration tolerates illegal dumping. He can't manage the car deals, the derelict vehicles, trash, and all of that, and has no heart for the homeless or human beings, unless they work for a bank and give him $200,000 extra to whatever it is that he gets and put on that smile. But we'll be talking about him later on. But he endorses Ige, and then Ige then has the authority and oversight over state activities and when there are violations in the environment on the part of the city, nothing happens. You have to claw at just getting, as we'll demonstrate in our leachate investigation, just to illustrate to you why the David Ige must go. I don't care who you vote for, but if you vote for David Ige, you're digging yourself a deeper hole and costly hole and all of that, just more money. And the farther he gets to stay in office, the longer he gets to stay, I should say, the worse it will get. It will be exacerbated by the hook and crook practices of Suzanne Case and the others that she bring in on her skirt tail or in her pants pocket, whatever her mode is getting people in. But back here to the sea cucumber that I was talking about earlier. Now, Suzanne Case came aboard with promises of protecting and taking certain areas of each island and calling it a community-based fisheries enforcement unit, meaning she didn't bring any new officers on, didn't bring much money, but promised all these millions of dollars to create community fisheries enforcement unit. And then in turn on Maui spent through a little money at that project, then with promises, but then later doubled back to the legislators and says, give us money to fund this fisheries-based, community-based enforcement unit. But she took three officers or so out of the regular cadre of officers that were assigned to Maui. And in turn, put them into patrolling maybe an 11-mile area or something like that, a very small postage stamp piece of the entire picture. And they proceeded to not make many enforcement actions on resources, but they padded their books by taking, they being those three officers, to make that unit look like it was functioning and productive, took the statistics from other officers working in other places on the island of Maui and incorporated them in their weekly or monthly or annual report to make it look as though it was successful, when in fact it was not successful. It ran out of money. They didn't have any money. But then they wanted money to open up, have the ICUN big gathering or teaching the world about how Hawaii treats. And I mean, that's sickening enough when you know that we don't have the ability or the concerns to even clean our streams. These streams serve as a rookery and a conduit for many species to safely grow and replenish the populations and migrate up and down the streams. We don't even have that of concern, both on state land, city lands, and federal. Many waterways are contaminated, plugged, tolerate illegal dumping, cars, tires, you name it. So, under the David Ige banner, where it says that he's good for the environment, I'm here to tell you, no. David Ige might be able to pronounce the word environment only because he's a good speaker. Other than that, too shallow, too many tolerant dumpings and illegal activities on the part of state, federal agencies, and city agencies, where he has the authority to appoint and hire inspectors. And there's a deficit in the number of inspectors under his administration. He didn't reach out. In fact, the number of the inspectors were cut. Under the Ige administration, it was, came over part of the agreement with, I guess, with the earlier governor. In order to get in touch with the state health department now, the inspectors and all, you have to go all the way to Pearl City, to Manana. No longer is it as convenient as being right downtown on the ward and accessible. You now got to drive, and God forbid if you are walking, you have to walk a mile and a half, unless there's supposedly a shuttle bus. But you got to go all the way up top now to Manana and to access the state health department, to access the DLNR enforcement people. You can go to Keamoku or Keolani. What is the name of the state building there? And right across from the state capitol, you can go there to talk to Suzanne Case or some of those people. But to go and retrieve your evidence that you've had seized from you or taken from you illegally, and, yeah, that's what you do. You go up there. So the Ige story is something very suspect. And to tolerate the likes of Suzanne Case, and one would say, well, her record is really good for environmental. Yeah, well, that's fine. Her record is good, but what she's doing now and introducing nonprofits. And remember now, under this same administration or these same people, and consistent with what I've been talking about earlier, there was a gentleman named Fraser McKelvey, who was a nonprofit person, moved into the directorship of the aquatics division, having no experience in Hawaii's fisheries or anything other than what he claims of being international and through the Conservation International Fisheries or something. He was elevated to a level of director of the aquatics division. And I'm offering this to share with you and to drive home the point to illustrate that David Ige is no friend of the environment. He has no understanding of the environment, and that commercial that he put out there is just malarkey. And shame on anyone that supports him, and knowing that there are so many other issues. I mean, when I see that commercial, I think to myself, what about asking you to tell us on the island of Molokai, small island, not a major population, we have monk seals, at least 8 that have died in the last 7, 8, 10 years. And they didn't just die. There, it's concluded that they died at the hands of human beings. Trauma to the head, blows to the body. Now, I'm not suggesting that this be all facts, but I will say we should consider these things to either rule them out or rule them in. And that is, there's Suzanne Case has a great interest in a place called Mo'omomi and a community fisheries sustainability program, hogwash. Hawaiians have protected their resources. When Captain Cook came here, they were protecting their resources. They don't need any high-temperate environmentalist conservationists from whatever agencies to nonprofits to help them. They know that game. They know what to do. You found them here eating fish. They didn't fish it all out. But under these new management, fisheries been impacted. Decimated. But how is it now? And please, I know this might be rambling to many of you, but there's so much BS in the air about this David Ige and being an environmentalist. And I just decided that at least I'll try my efforts, put my efforts forth to come back and say, no, we object to that. That's not true. You're not an environmental governor. You're not. You have no sense, no bearing as what an environmental person is or concerns. You've done nothing for the environment. The DLNR collects $1 million a year or under J, the Joint Enforcement, JEA. And what they do, they're supposed to investigate and monitor and regulate and do all of that and offer protection to marine mammals. And of the marine mammals, one of them is the monk seal, critically endangered. And yet, on a small island, repeated occurrences, repeated. You don't have to sort through 50,000 people per city block to get to the truth of who did it and why, what for. So you may have saved some watershed, but we're having a torrential downpour on your willingness to lie to the people, take the federal monies, claiming that you're protecting them, taking federal monies and joining it up with nonprofit money, and then leaving it up to the nonprofits to control the DLNR and control the people in aquatics divisions when they can't even go out and do their work and be consistent and being responsible. They can't do that anymore. Suzanne Case hires Mr. Bruce Anderson, Dr. Bruce Anderson. He worked hard for his degree, so we'll give him that. But a company man, big businessman. Yes, he ran the health department, but he didn't run it with any great ratings. We had more problems there and with the consent decrees, and then we had the Larry Lowes and what have you. So this claim about environmental and excuse me, this claim about environmental being a good friend of the environment, as David Ige, and I'm not even touching the surface of what the willingness and the tolerance that he has allowed, that he has for violations and ignoring the law of the land when it comes to the environmental concerns. So, now why would you want to bring in the DLNR and mix it with nonprofit organizations? And I speak to some of the biologists that are in the civil service, and they are absolutely troubled. Many of them retired because of they could have stayed around longer. Now, Suzanne Case hired Dr. Bruce Anderson, and it is rumored that it was a favor to him because of the high three situation and what have you. So Dr. Pressler left the health department. So then what happens? Bruce Anderson, under our illustrious governor, David Ige, who cares about the environment, allowed Bruce Anderson to take over the head of the directorship of the health department. Now, the question you might want to ask yourself is that just how bad was Dr. Pressler? She didn't have any real experience. She was an MD medical doctor. She didn't have any experience as was running the agency relating to environmental. And it showed in many of her decisions. But this comes at the hands and from the controls of the David Ige administration. So Dr. Bruce Anderson now will get his high threes, and I understand now it's reported to me that he would take the position. If Ige loses, then he will be guaranteed to go back to his position at the aquatics division as acting director there. Now, why was there a vacancy for Bruce Anderson to be appointed to the directorship of the aquatics division? Well, Fraser McGilvery, I started to talk about him earlier. That's why I left him hanging in the air there, so I'd make a double back on you with him. Fraser McGilvery, nonprofit organization background, supposedly fisheries, but nothing to do with Hawaiian aquatic fisheries or aquatic resources or anything, but he was appointed and in turn declared that he had an injury that was so severe that he had to travel on airplanes. He had to fly first class because the seats would accommodate and was more comfortable because he was in such debilitating conditions. His condition was so debilitating that he barely could walk or stand or sit for a long time or whatever it was. And there is a letter to that effect that he even had his doctor to write. My client must be, my patient must be something to the effect, be permitted to fly first class because then his conditions would be exacerbated if he wore flu coats. Now, you would think that that's horrendous. I mean, to subject a man to that. And then, well, first of all, you might want to think, well, why would we hire someone in a capacity as a director of the aquatics division if you got that medical condition? You can't discriminate there, but if his medical conditions are such that it prohibits him from walking as normal people or sitting as normal people, or you wouldn't want to put him in a position where it might demand or tax him with having to sit in the wrong place, ride on a boat, bouncing and waves, and you understand. So after he gets hired, he then goes and asks for an authorization to do open water dive rescue. Yeah. And so this is the kind of BS that you're getting under this David Ige environmental governor. And I can't take issue with the environmental community for doing and supporting David Ige. That's their prerogative. That's their choice. But what I would say is that we have an obligation morally to at least the people that we claim that we represent and are looking out for their best interests. We must be across the board fair, equitable, and not lend ourselves to hook and cookery. See, Ige cooks up, and his image is out there, and he's, you know, let's not be fooled. This is something that is just simply not true. And I just wish that we could have some kind of relief with this Monk Seal situation over on Molokai. I've told you occasionally that I've asked for certain pictures of them being bashed in the head, I'll say that. And the Noah says, well, we can't give you the pictures because the pictures are in such a state of decomposition, shows a state of decomposition, and we wouldn't want that image out there. And you know when you're being BS'd by an agency or anyone when they use that kind of language, because how often do you see a story on TV that the blubber of a whale is washed up, or the carcass of a whale is washed up on the shore, and there's all kinds of movies and videos and shots and people standing around, and then they show you where it was towed out and put in the current and let it drift away, and then they don't take it far enough and it pops up on another side of the island. You don't have any concerns about that image, that decomposition. So in other words, what they're saying is, we don't want you to have those pictures because you're going to raise the issue of why can't we solve this, and why are we affiliated with this so-called group at Mo Mummy or whatever it is, when some of the animals have died there and some of the people directly involved with this Mo'omami program has knowledge or has participated in the actual detriment to actions taken against the Monk Seals. I've spoken to a couple of people that works with that program, and it ain't pretty. I think that David Ige should abandon all of those extraneous activities that Suzanne Case has brought along, trying to butter up the community, and get past that, go back to the basics of managing our natural resources and protecting them. We don't need money that's going to corrupt us. Because if a nonprofit or developer gives money to have an academy and fund an academy, Will the people that went to that academy come out and prosecute those people that if they found them to be in violation, or is it an offer of insulation? So anyway, this is the first hour, the end of the first hour of the Carol Cox Show here on Talk808.com. We'll be back shortly, and thank you for listening. Good morning again, and welcome back to Talk808.com. This is the Carol Cox Show coming to you from our studios here in Honolulu, Hawaii, taking up from the earlier subject of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and is the big question, is David Ige good for the environment? We say not, but we're just one of few, one of many who agree with the claims that he's not a good one, and there are some say he is a good environmental governor. So I will continue to lay out for you some of the incidents that hopefully will leave you with the impression that go do your homework and don't just buy the fact that his claims that he is an environmental and has done good for the environment. But also, there are many other things, nuclear missiles that were supposed to be en route to Hawaii and Honolulu and what have you, when it was a fake and all of that, and he couldn't find his Twitter passcode. And I mean, can we tolerate something like that? I mean, I spend hours sometimes trying to remember, and I get frustrated and want to throw my iPad or my phone or my computer or throw something at it because I can't remember my passcode. And that's what why they give you these passcodes, so that you can forget them. You know, they want to frustrate you. They don't want it all to be perfect. So to forget your password is human. But to lie to us and then manipulate to those things and intentionally manipulate those things, that's a difference. That's the difference. You see, we shouldn't be so cruel, because if you ask me my password to certain things, I would be, I just don't know. Let me refer to my book or something. But, while we're talking about emergency management and those kinds of things, and David Ige and the tolerance for certain activities and the willingness to bend the rules for some and screw others, I'm going to lay out in a continuation of what I've been in the same vein, but we're going to change agencies this time. And I have an email that I had gotten maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. And then I received another email that has been floating around from reputable sources with even more substantial claims or concerns that it's mentioning. So I am not going to make any statement as to with certainty, but I will read from this email, and I will say to you at the appropriate time that what we've done to corroborate or confirm some of, not all of this information, but some. But I think I want to share with you. Now, it's no secret that the emergency management person, the general, had stepped down because of the nuclear missile, or whatever it was that was on its way, but that didn't exist or whatever. So we were all scared itless, but we got over it. Now, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, where have we heard that name before? As repeatedly and often tell us on the evening news how many people they have arrested for going behind the scenes behind the scenes and entering prohibited areas to take pictures of lava or to even go and assess the value, assess the damage to their property or to their home. And the DLNR boastfully say that, well, we've arrested and cited and you're going to pay, the fines could be up to 500 smackers. Now, I went to a website and the claim is that the head of the Hawaii National Guardsman, I guess that would be a general, allowed his cousin to go aboard a helicopter, a Black Hawk helicopter, or a helicopter, a military helicopter, who is not active duty military, who is not an employee of the state, who is not affiliated with emergency services, but was given the opportunity to be aboard and fly and take pictures from the military helicopter of lava and the fissions and all of that flowing. And then in turn, after coming down from the helicopter rides, that he ride or rides, plural, he then is put in a truck, military truck, and shuttled behind the lines so that he could get pictures, so that he could sell those pictures and make a profit. This is under the David Ige administration. Now, right now, we're going to write him and ask him, but we're going to go further than that. And with the tendency of, we don't expect Ige to respond because that's way, there's something about Ige, and I don't know if it's a plantation mentality that we were all stuck with growing up, that of a person of color, a person of, that if you're not white or part of the clique or the inherited something in the backgrounds of Hawaii's rich families or whatever, then you're to be ignored. But we have the same rights and responsibility that others have, and we should be given that respect. And so when we rewrite Ige and others in the government and they blow us off, there's no other explanation other than you're living in a plantation mentality and you're practicing racism or discrimination of some sort, because it doesn't matter how big you are, quote, you are as far as media. You have a right. And if you engage in that and you want to be informed and you contact your government should be respectful enough to know that you are entitled to that information. And as long as the rules are adhered to, that it doesn't frustrate government or interfere with government practices and all, then I should have equal access to the same information and same access to anybody else. Doesn't matter how big or small you are as far as media or your purpose for using it or what have you. As long as it's information that is deemed public, we should have that right and have access and immediate access to it, not detained or delayed as we have here. And these requests that I make regarding this, the TV station can ask the exact same questions that I ask, and there's a practice of telling me that I have to wait 10 days when, in fact, they can get back to the TV stations within and the newspapers within 10 minutes. So I don't know what it is about that other than to gravitate back to this is the way we have been trained. When it comes to voting, you tell me you want me to be out there, you know, and you want me to vote and vote for you. But when it comes to exercising my rights as a citizen, you don't want that. You want to ignore me and you want to play the game. I have even the Attorney General deputy being vulgar and being rude when he has no reason to be, other than if I make a request, he write a response on the behalf of the state DLNR or whatever agency, and in turn, that's where he stopped. I have a right to appeal it, but instead, the OIP is frustrated as well. It is also corrupt under this current administration. The Office of Administration Practices, I told you about the Big Island hiring. Now, I've requested those documents nearly 2 years now. 2 years. And there, all it is, maybe, I think there's maybe 9 pages. The Attorney General Deputy wrote and objected to release of them, and that was back in 2016. And the OIP is sitting on it, claiming, and then I call up to ask what the status was. And then I'm told, well, here you are. The State Attorney General Deputy wrote this, and this is their response. Well, fine. I don't care what their response is. I want to know what your response is, OIP, because I appeal to you. I didn't appeal to the Attorney General's office. Had no reason to. The Attorney General is representing the state DLNR. So therefore, rightfully so, he has that right or to express himself or offer some objection if he felt, which is appropriate. But it's the OIP who should have rendered a decision after 2 years practically. So this is the David Ige administration. He appointed someone, and that someone is loyal to him, and that someone protects him and shields him from the public and the transparency and affording public transparency. That's wrong. So on this this email regarding the National Guards, the person writes, I'm a spouse of a Hawaii National Guardsman who has served in the lava disaster response since May. My spouse is still there in Hilo, Puna area, 2 months later, actively responding to this lava event. Here are the facts of what my spouse has experienced in his 2 months serving the lava response. Now, for some reason, I have sent back an email back for clarification to the party that wrote me. And this particular document was circulated amongst the media. And I don't know why anyone is refusing to touch this. At a minimum, ask the question. Because while the party there may be concerns of truth and accuracy and what have you, the individual that's accused of getting the free ride aboard the helicopter actually has a website where he has posted the pictures and where he appreciates and thanks General Hara for allowing him to go aboard the vessel, the helicopter. And then he also writes in his letter is, this is the party, the photographer that was given special treatment. One of the positive aspects of the eruption has been people, he's writing somewhat in the grammar here, within all of the destruction and loss, the creation and strengthening of friendships, partnerships, and community with others throughout the event are distinguishing memories to be shared with future generations. We're standing at the tip of creation, at which arrives all which arrives from here forth are now roads to remind us that we are alive as much as what surrounds us and is with us, within us. I'm sorry, I don't know why he would write, but happy Aloha Friday to our communities and Ohana. We have all been touched by these, by the peace and wrath of the of our Creator. With much gratitude and aloha. This is the photographer that got the free ride, as given to him or authorized, as he claimed, by the general of the National Guards. And he also say that here's this is a civilian being allowed to hop aboard military helicopter, fly over the lava fields and the eruptions, and take pictures and turn around and sell them and post them on his website and say, earthquakes in the summit area have resumed following yesterday's collapse of an explosion event of 7:08 Hawaii Standard Time, which had an energy equivalent to a magnitude 5.3 earthquake. The current rate of earthquake ranges from 25 to 35 per hour and is expected to continue leading up to another collapse explosion event, which is expected to occur this evening or early Sunday. Inward slumping and in rim. But anyway, this is information that he gets permission from having direct relationship and access. So when they land the helicopter, he gets down and he then goes and gets in a military truck. And then they drive him behind the scenes so that he can get pictures behind the scenes of National Guardsmen wearing the gas mask and all. And unfortunately, while he's having such access and being exposed to such deadly risk, if he were to get injured or die, the taxpayer pays or possibly gets snagged in a lawsuit. Meantime, DLNR is arresting people for, quote, trespassing, yet a relative of a general gets to fly on the helicopter for free and then turn around and be able to put those pictures on the website and claim that he is going to give a portion of the proceeds to the Honua Puna, I think, Pu'u Honua Puna, after he recover his costs and expenses for pictures, he would give a portion of the proceeds. So, how is it that under the administration of Ige, we already had that debacle there at the level of the general who had to retire? Now, how is it that anybody could keep a straight face when they know they're giving free rides to family members or alleged family members aboard military helicopters when there could be a need for, if you're going to give a citizen an opportunity to fly aboard the military helicopter, why not invite or make that seat available to a victim who would, homeowner, a property owner who would have been directly impacted and was curious as to what the status of their, but they were left holding the bag or standing there wondering and stressing out. And then in turn, we're giving free rides to someone that is not interested in looking at and assessing it from assessing the dangerous aspect of it so that it could make decisions. This is a person who is looking to take pictures so that he could make money from those. I don't believe it's fair. I don't believe it's right. But so the letter that was also sent that is out there and about the media, during the immediate response of the Joint Task Force 50, the Hawaii National Guard organized, my spouse lived in a gym on a cart with 300 plus guardsmen. There were no private showers. There were no private areas to relax and call family. All guard members were told to bring two uniforms, but this became a problem, especially when ash and Pele's hair came raining down on their clothing, especially when there was only one washer dryer to serve 300 people. Now, this is what this letter is reflecting. The Joint Task Force included active duty Army and Marines. because Hawaii National Guard deployed a majority of its aviation units to serve in Europe and the Middle East and did not leave enough personnel to respond to any local disasters. How about that? This is Mr. Ige's, like Mr. Rogers' hometown. This is Mr. Ige's. The Joint Task Force 50's main goal was to, quote, save the Puna Geothermal Venture, PGV, site from lava inundation, especially since the PGV provided a source of clean energy, quote, which if closed would negatively impact the state's administration's clean energy goals and progress to 100% clean energy by 2045. So the implication is that there was some manipulation. Save that at all costs. The Joint Task Force often undermined the county of Hawaii's lava response. There was friction over the PGV site and the state's interest in protecting PGV from lava, which the county was more interested in protecting Puna communities. Harry Kim historically has been against the PGV site. You see the politics? Now, I wasn't there, and I don't know all the details, but I was there in Big Island about 2 weeks ago, and I did interview a couple people, and they, too, shared these same concerns. Another point the Joint Task Force commander, and I'm only reading this letter that Ken Hara, General Ken Hara, referenced a giant handmade map with National Guard members spent coloring and drawing using cut out people to reference communities and using yarn lay materials purchased from Ben Franklin to serve as a maps, axis, and lava references. And this person attached some photos. During the time when the photo was taken, the USGS was already using drones to map Puna's lava inundation. USGS map identified more lava in Puna area compared to the National Guard's hand-drawn yarn lay map. And every morning, Guard members would circle around the massive hand-drawn yarn and make plans. If this is not shocking enough, let me remind you that this hand-drawn yarn lay map was completely unnecessary and a waste of Guard members' time and resources. The Hawaii National Guard is in possession of a drone called Eagle Vision that U.S. Senator Daniel Inouye purchased to survey disaster areas, which would upload up-to-date maps and lava inundation hurricane, disaster, tsunami inundation, depending on the disaster's events needs. Guard members told their commanders of the state's possession of this Eagle Vision. Commanders declined to use the drone and relied on hand-drawn yarn and lay maps. And, two, recall that USGS has been actively surveying the lava area and uploading daily digitized maps of the area on the website. Guardsmen also urged their commanders to use USGS digitalized maps. Commanders insisted on using hand-drawn yarn lay maps. Does that sound familiar? Fake nuke. It was an accident. Hit the wrong button. USGS is using high-tech drones. They are using maps with string, they being guardsmen. Now, General Hara also available at his public Facebook, and read the Facebook album description. The photographers publicly thanks his cousin, Brigadier General Hara, for the flight. Other albums are photographing his easy access to Hawaii National Guard lava restrictions. So he is now selling these photos, the letter says, to benefit a nonprofit with an unspecified amount of monies collected from the sale. I am not going to go and read the whole thing because my printer was off today, so for some reason we got to reload the drive. But What do you do with something like this? You want to write to the governor and ask him, how is it that even such rumor, if it's just rumor or innuendo, it's still wrong, but I know, I personally went to the website and confirmed the individual has pictures of himself, have pictures of, and identified specifically National Guard members wearing the cameras and the gas masks and himself inside of the Black Hawk helicopter and sitting there and hanging out the window and taking pictures. I mean, the whole thing reeks of bad judgment, clandestine. If we're related to one another, or if I know you, then I can deal with you. But if I don't know you, you're just nothing. The government doesn't represent you. You're just here. You're in the way. And, you know, we don't have to travel too far to see corruption here. And how is it that David Ige, this letter, and I understand that someone had written and asked questions about it, but they didn't get a response. And then I heard other media won't touch this because they don't want to. Some say that Ige is getting a free ride on this, but I'm wondering why Hanabusa or Tupola is not right. Now, John Carroll is not making hay of this, because this speaks of some very serious flaws in David Ige's ability to manage and do what's right by all of the people, all of the time. And so, because all of this is secretly and widely known within the National Guard circles, other Guard members in the state are declining the opportunity to relieve the Guard members already serving in the Big Island. This is a raw deal. Many Oahu Guardsmen use vacations, their civilian jobs, their family financial needs as reasons to decline and avoid these active duty orders. It's very sad. There's no teamwork for Guard members who are still serving in the Big Island. They received a raw deal of terrible living conditions, corrupt leadership, mismanagement, and no pay, and they're on their own. Now, I didn't write that. Didn't say that. This is what was written by a spouse of someone purporting to be a spouse of, and I've written back to this party at the email address that was given to me when I received the original one and then through my contacts and checking. And does this seem to have a common thread? Is David Ige actually managing and governing our affairs? Or is David Ige handing it off our affairs to individuals along the sidelines, so to speak? And as long as there's no real crises, he didn't care what the quality of treatment or addressment or response that his appointees may have or would have given to this behavior. So we're going to follow up on this, and if nothing else, ask that the governor, I think in this case with where people have been arrested and the DLNR is arrested, and in the meantime, the general is given rides, if proven to be true, to relative, then I believe that taints the whole interest and they should drop. And I know it's a far stretch, but hey, how can you destroy one person's life and give the other cotton candy? If this proves out to be true, there is no reason that this gentleman should have been aboard that helicopter, afforded that opportunity or those opportunities. It was a bad decision to expose a civilian to these types of hazards? Or it suggests that there were no hazards, because if you took a civilian behind the lines, then you either believe that there was no real threat, or you expose the public to a big lawsuit if he had been injured, or you lied and you were just wanting to arrest people just to make yourself look good as if you were doing something. Because you clearly didn't acknowledge the danger, and if you're that reckless, then I believe it's time that the courts be notified and the citations be rescinded, revoked, recalled, torn up. But if you're listening out there and you know someone that is related or did receive a citation, refer them to us and we'll be happy to provide a copy of this letter. As I say, we're not saying that this is... We received it, and other media has it. I did confirm that the individual made claims that he was going to give money, and that is on his website, and that is that he acknowledged being aboard the helicopter. He gives thanks to the general and all of that. So clearly there's some truth or accuracy to some of this, if not all of it. So the points that we reached out, and we'll again... come tomorrow, we'll hopefully the governor's office will this time respond. But, you know, cotton pickers and corn pickers and pineapple pickers really don't have a voice. We're an annoyance when we write our government and ask them something. But if we came over on the Mayflower, we'll probably be received and acknowledged, and we'll get some response. Maybe that's the way the game played here in Hawaii. And I suggest that it is. Yes, I know we're all supposedly a melting pot, and we are a part of a community where we're all mixed. But let me tell you something. There are vestiges of racism here in Hawaii that equal or surpasses those that we witness in Mississippi and other places. Individuals like myself try to operate, and we experience that wrath of racism and discrimination. Not because we are snatching purses and stealing and robbing cars and what have you and robbing people, but simply asking our government, could you tell me what the hell you're doing? Can you tell me what the hell you're hiding? Why are you hiding it? Why are you leaving my best well-being to that the decisions of a nonprofit? So that's the way it rolls here, baby, in downtown Honolulu, the big house. So we talked for a while, and this is still in the vein of Mr. David Ige and the not so environmental. Now, for some years now, I have tried to alert the state health department on the subject of leachate. Now, pay attention now. I said alert because I didn't want to say that teach them and make them become aware or educate them, because it's their duty to know what leachate is. That is what, when they come into their jobs, if they're working in the clean water branch, wastewater branch, solid waste branch, hazardous waste branch, and even clean air, but giving everyone a break, and the safe drinking water branch, and the environmental, they all should know leachate. So, and they all should know that leachate just doesn't happen by itself. It takes a process where one collects trash, or trash is accumulated. When we say trash, it could be of anything. It could be dresser drawers dumped along, piled up, and where water comes in contact and standing, and it breaks down the glue and the contaminants and the vinyl, polyvinyl chlorides, gases, and remnants from that all mixes in there, and who knows? And the paints and the lacquers that are, so that could be leachate. Or it could be, in this case that I'm going to talk about, is the leachate that's generated at the municipal solid waste drop-off or waste management or transfer stations. The state does not inspect those, and you would think that under the Ige administration, the one that the environmentalists say that he's a friend of the environment, so how in hell did we allow a transfer station garbage that exceeding its allowable limits of 55,000 gallons or tons or something? There's a limit of how much you store there, because they know that when you at your home dump your trash, you might put in there bug spray can or shoe polish or nail polish, or you might put in all kinds of things, syrups from food waste, juices from food, you name it. It could be a medical waste that is discarded in the, home use and what have you. And all of that mixes with the trash. And when they pick it up at your home and take it back to the transfer station, it all collects and drains out when the bags are punctured. And it drains out. And so you have this great collection of soup. We'll call it a leachate. And use your imagination now. Of if you have a reason to use acetone or arsenic or whatever, rat poison or bug spray, wasp spray, whatever you use, you have flea spray, you name it. And you discard that in there, and that remnant juices or liquids left over become leachate. So you would think if you had your facility located immediately near a river that drains into a bay that is utilized by hundreds and hundreds of people, and major regattas are held, and then we find that the regattas have to cancel because of health concerns, because of the nasty water. But no one admits that where the nasty water is generated. The Ige administration stand by and watch the media talk about bacteria in the water so high at high levels, and they shut it down. And they're going to put signs, and did post signs, prohibiting the use of the water because it was unsafe. But not one time did the Ige administration walk upstream and say, here is the culprit. Not one. And why not? Well, if I was David Ige and my friend was Kirk Caldwell, and Kirk Caldwell is a manager and city manager and the mayor, all this under his watch, you wouldn't want to go over there and send your inspectors to inspect Kurt Caldwell's bad behavior of allowing leachate to drain from the trucks, because the trucks were, they purchased new trucks and the trucks were not designed to hold the water, the leachate. And so your supervisors in the city tells the workers and the drivers to load the trucks up and leave them overnight so they can drain the leachate in and run down the pavement in the parking lot and then drain down the drain. You follow? And directly into the storm water drain, directly into the Mauna Loa stream, which then leads into the Kehi Lagoon. So, environmental? Friend of the environment? Yeah, I'd say I'd drink to that, David Ige, if we were to buy what the environmentalists say. He's definitely, and then that's why we get those trickery, slick commercial. I've saved watershed. Yeah, but you're pissing down our legs, contaminants, and all the other bad things down the drain, and you wouldn't even send an inspector until I continue to harp and bark and complain. And then the city gets to modify, and they say now, this is the David Ige, how hard he is on the environment violators. This is a letter sent July 10th, 2018. Now, I wrote one complaint to them about this facility, to them being the city and county of Honolulu, as well as the state health department, clean water branch, as well as a solid waste branch. But my most recent one was December 9th of 2016. Well, they couldn't get anybody to go over there because they didn't have anybody to, no inspectors on staff, because the governor wouldn't hire anybody. And if you go to Big Island, we got a deficit in hiring positions there. You go to Kauai, a deficit. So how on earth can this man be endowed with the term of environmental friendly when in fact he has dropped the ball and abandoned the responsibility of protecting these resources by simply not funding the positions, not hiring the positions that would be out regulating and monitoring and inspecting? See, you can say anything. This guy, will endorse you, yeah, you know, because we have 500,000 members. Yeah, but if you told your members what was going on, and if you paid attention, keep the watershed little postage stamp that you've given us and step back and take care of the big picture, all the moving parts. Don't just put a little grease on the one that's stuck. Put it on all the, lubricate everything and have it free flowing. And then we can say that's an environmental governor. That's a person who cares about the environment. But that's something that it's left up to discussion of, is he an environmentalist? But when your friend stands on TV and say, I support, I'm endorsing David Ige, I'm Kurt Caldwell, and I approve this message because I get some breaks that nobody else get breaks. You see, what do you mean by that, Mr. Mayor? Well, this is a make-believe conversation that we're having with the mayor here. But, you know, hey, look, I have to support my friend David Ige. He is the right man for this kind of game, you see. And how is that, Mr. Mayor? Well, you see, he allowed me to dump more than 1 million gallons of sewage water, crap, into the Ala Moana area. And, hey, all I did was I had to just stand there and BS the people and lie to them and tell them it was just 100,000 gallons. And, you know, and what was so cute about this, you won't believe what David allowed me to do. See, David allowed my people to stand there and say little old ladies with house slippers on and little gowns on that came out and took manhole covers and lifted them off. And all the water from the manhole covers were running down there, and that caused a flood, you know. Yeah. Oh, really, Mayor? Yeah, David and I are tight. You know, you don't think I wouldn't endorse him? Who else gonna do that for me? You see? Yeah. Oh, well, Mr. Mayor, just recently I saw that you had a press conference where you were boasting about those two digesters that are now running over there at Sand Island, and you held up a bag of it, as your director said, that if we can take the it out of it, then people will use it for fertilizer. It's the it factor. Yeah. Well, it sure is an it factor. And this material is going to be used for fertilizer around the island, and we're going to sell it and bag it up, and the mayor takes his hand and put the pellets and sprinkles it on the grass. Now, if we come back here, it's going to be green. Yeah, but if you come back too, it might also be highly laden with bacteria, human fecal matter, because you see, in the earlier days, the material couldn't be baked and the temperature couldn't rise high enough to kill all the bacteria, so that it rendered it unusable. But then, hey, I can put on a dog and pony show. And my friend David will protect me, because I'm throwing my support behind David, see, because David is going to protect me from being smeared and attached to poor environmental management in case I want to run for governor. See, there won't be any record to show that I was really a person who didn't give a damn about the environment and still don't give a damn about the environment. But you see, David's going to make sure that nothing goes into the files, because there's no inspector, so nothing. And then when Carol Cox comes along and nudge them and budge them and nudge them, and finally they give in, they go and make an inspection and confirm everything that Carol Cox says. But my friend David makes sure that there's no action taken, just threats. I get another 60-day shot at this, you see. Oh, Mr. Mayor, you seem to be tight with the governor. Oh, tight isn't the word, maybe. You see. So here is a courtesy letter, a love letter from, it's supposed to be an inspection report as a result of my complaints, but you don't even see them say that it was a complaint. Here's what it says. July 10th, 2018, subject, industrial stormwater inspection, national pollutant discharge elimination system permit, Kehi Refuge Station. The Department of Health Clean Water Branch is providing you with the inspection report from NPDES stormwater inspection conducted at the Kehi Transfer Station on April 16, 2018. Based on observations made during this inspection, it appears that the city and county of Honolulu discharges leachate from the Kehi Transfer Station to state waters via the facility's stormwater drainage system. The discharge of leachate is not authorized by the NPDES permit associate. At this time, the DOH Clean Water Branch requests that you review the enclosed inspection report. Take appropriate actions to correct any deficiencies. Now, you see how David, how kind David is to Kurt? Oh, love fest. See, it appears. Now, damn it, you send inspectors. You send a certified contracting EPA inspector there to that you hired, brought from Colorado, and then all that you can come up with it that it appears, yet you got pictures in here that shows where you witness it draining down the drain. It appears. That shows you brotherly love. So then, as such, the city and county of Honolulu Department of Environmental Services has been copied on this notice and provided a copy of the inspection. Please be aware that it is the permittee's duty and to comply with all conditions set forth by the permit. We reserve the right to take any enforcement actions necessary to ensure the facility's compliance with the issued NPDES permit. This includes penalties for discharge observed during the April 16. So it appears in the early love letter, but now that they witness it actually occurring during that, you know there's brotherly love there when you figure it out. You're dealing with a legal matter, and yet it appears, and then you come back and say that this includes penalties of discharges observed. You see, not appear to be. Hawaii Revised Statute 342D-30 provides for penalties of up to $25,000 per day. Violation for any violation. Failure to make immediate and adequate corrective actions will be considered in any enforcement action. In other words, don't worry, we've given you another chance and another chance and another chance. We're going to leave now and kiss me goodbye. You see, that's love. And that's why you see Kurt Caldwell being out there so generous and gratuitous with his vote and his support to David Ige, because David Ige controls the inspectors. And so therefore, the environmental claim that he in the badge that he wears is no badge for environmental concern. It's just that he's allowing Kurt Caldwell to get away with murder, because Kurt has aspirations of one day running for governor or running for Congress or something. And it wouldn't it be bad that if you left a trail of violations and dumped cars, and David Ige will make sure that you have no inspectors on staff to inspect. And when they do go, they still have to be so nice and so kind and kiss, kiss before they leave. Can't take any action. $25,000 a day. That's what the penalties could be if you continue to do this. It sounds rather harsh, doesn't it? But here's the problem. All that will happen is, even if they decided to fine them, there will be a consent decree. Of course, that's a more beautiful, more eloquent love letter between politicians and state agencies and city agencies when you're trying to help a friend. What will happen is that the state, even in this situation, as people have been contaminated, swimming in it, and it's impacting the environment, David Ige is going to let him off the hook by saying, well, if you promise to do this and pay for this to clean up what you should be doing anyway, we'll forgive the penalties. So if you show us that you spent $25,000 a day in repairing this, then we're okay. And you know what that means? Some of the boys over there in Hippieville or Loveville or Protect My Ina, I Protect Your Ina. And that is, I will never sink your ship if you got my back. I will never prosecute you, and I will never, ever refer you out to the EPA for criminal charges or violation charges or fines and punishment. I'll cover for you, my brother. So when you see that ad on TV that he saved the watershed, just know that this is just one trail, one pathway now. I got many other examples of David Ige abandoning and just simply not affording the environmental conditions here or good quality protection. It's just not happening. So anyway, I appreciate you listening. This is the Carol Cox Show here on Talk808.com. And please give me a call, 782-6627. If you want to talk or want to join in on us or want to put a host a show up here, be happy to. We have unlimited space to host shows now, so feel free. We can either do it in podcast or do it live. 808-782-6627. Or Carol at carolcox.com or Carol at gmail.com. Carol Cox at gmail.com. Thank you again. We'll see you, and we're out.